Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
Minister, you're very welcome and thanks for taking our call.
Not at all. Good afternoon.
What did you think when you read this report?
Well, first of all, I would want to say thanks to the group, who were a very high-level group led by Kevin Toland and a number of other senior people, very experienced in legal and administrative areas, Kathleen O'Toole, Chief of Police in Seattle, Pat McLaughlin, Greg Sparks, Geraldine Tallon, David Byrne, former Attorney General and EU Commissioner, who gave freely of their time to do this report over a very short time frame. When I read it first, I thought it was an extremely valuable tool to help the department and myself and indeed government going forward in terms of the reform in the justice area, which we are committed to. It is a hard-hitting report. It is a very constructive report. It highlights the strengths in the department, the strengths of the staff, the professional expertise that they have, their commitment, their loyalty, their wanting to do the right thing by the department, but it does identify serious management issues which need to be addressed to make the department, if you like, a 21st century organisation.
It certainly does.
It's 21st century challenges.
And it is, as you say, very critical of management, very praiseworthy of the staff, but very
That's critical, right, of management.
It says it's a closed, secretive and silo-driven culture. Do you agree with that?
Well, I have to say, since I joined the department some weeks ago, I have found the staff extremely receptive, wanting to do the right thing, hardworking. But I do believe that that culture is secrecy. It's understandable when you think about the history of the department, the role it played in relation, for example, to subversives. I just think about the threats that various ministers for defence were under over the years. I do believe that over the decades, this kind of culture developed, but certain aspects of it are not appropriate to the functioning of the department at present. And certainly we have to move beyond any question of people not working in a united way across all the divisions. Clearly, we need to drive the change forward by working with everybody in the department, a very strong management group working together, not in silos. And that has to be dealt with. And I believe it will be. There is a roadmap, as I've said. There is a roadmap in this review. It's a very thorough review. It is very constructive about going forward. And they do say that they believe that there is capability and commitment of staff within the department. And that gives them full confidence that the recommendations can be quickly and professionally implemented. Although, overall, they do give a three-year time frame. They say there's certain things you can do in a couple of months, other things within a year. But there are very strong messages here about the changes that are needed. For example, in relationship to the agencies that come under the control of the department, they found too much informality. And I suppose it's typical of the kind of change that a lot of organisations have had to undergo in recent times. But it's very hard-hitting.
Well, it is very hard-hitting, as we've said. Where does the buck stop, though? We've heard that Brian Purcell, the Secretary-General, has offered to be reassigned. Is it fair that he takes all of the responsibility and all of the blame, or have successive justice ministers been failing to reform the department?
Well, I think there are broader messages here about, you know, how to run departments. I don't think there's any question about that. I think there's a certain amount of, you know, as I say, there's a certain amount of history, obviously, to this particular department that has led to certain ways of dealing with issues. I think it's a question of how everybody is responsible. This is more than any one person. As you say, the Secretary General, Brian Purcell, who has given service to the department over a period of 28 years. Indeed, he was the man when he was in the Department of Social Welfare. He took a very tough decision and ended up being shot by a criminal for the decision that he had taken. So this is a man who knows about public service. There's no question of that.
But I'm asking you, I suppose, does the buck stop with him, or isn't it the minister who has overall responsibility and accountability for what goes on in their department?
Well, yes. You know, a colleague of mine some months ago said that he had a view about the department that it wasn't fit for purpose. And I was asked at the time what I believed. And what I said was that I I wanted to have evidence. And I initiated this review. I've published this review. As I say, I'm very lucky to have a very experienced group of people who gave freely of their time to examine the report. And I have to say, every member of the staff of the Department of Justice who was asked to cooperate, and all of the people outside the department who were interviewed, gave willingly of their time in order to get the best possible outcome and the clearest view of the department. We now have a very clear view of the, what needs to be done, and I believe the responsibility is with me and it is with the senior management of the department to take this report, to work on it, and ensure that we carry through the work that the review group has said needs to be done.
But have previous ministers failed? Has Alan Shatter failed? Dermot O'Hearn, John O'Donoghue, the list goes on of previous ministers who oversaw this department, who oversaw and was ultimately responsible for the culture.
Well, I think it's very important to recognise that, you know, what the report says, yes, there are challenges on the management side, and, you know, one could speculate forever about how those management failings arose in the particular department, in the same way that in any company or in any other department one might speculate. But clearly, you know, what the report says as well is that the department has delivered, has a huge work output, is responsive to the pressures that are on it in many ways, that they have staff who are professional and loyal. So, you know, it's a mixed picture. One has to be very clear about this. The report is saying that there are many positives, but there are clear challenges, particularly many positives in relation to all of the staff who work in the department, but clear challenges in relation to management.
Will more people than Brian Purcell have to leave their job?
Well, I, what I would imagine would happen now, what I envisage happening, is that we have a new Secretary General now, which will be by way of open competition. That person will have a key role in leading change, as indeed will all members of the management team. And obviously, there are various changes, recommendations in the report. They will be overseen in the coming months, but at the moment, the situation is that we have the report and we intend to implement
it. But can you change the culture of a department by simply changing one person in it?
Of course you can't. I mean, this is much more than one person. This is about a whole of department approach. This is about doing things differently. That is spelt out in detail in the report about new management operating kind of protocols that will be needed. It talks about a more formal relationship with the agencies under the control of the department. It talks about a less informal approach than has been in the department before in relationship to the agencies. Remember, this department has 21 agencies, independent, statutorily independent agencies under it, and 12 executive agencies. This is a very big department. This is more than any one person, but what we have here is a roadmap of the challenges that is facing the department from a management point of view, and there was a lot of experienced management people in the review group, and very clear indications of how to go forward. So it's a very valuable tool in terms of reform, and we want to lead. As a government, we're committed, you know, to reform in the justice area, in policing and in oversight, and clearly in the department now we have a roadmap about on how to move ahead.
When will you carry out a second review?
Well, the review group have offered, in fact, and I will take them up on the offer, to be available. I think they say twice a year that they would be available to, if you like, be a kind of monitoring group. I think that would be very useful. And they're prepared to meet twice yearly. We'll certainly do that. And they do talk about, as I say, there is a time frame of when each of the recommendations should be implemented. And we'll certainly intend to stick with that time frame.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme. That's the Justice Minister, Francis Fitzgerald, 26 minutes past five. We're going back now to our story from the Economic and Social Research Institute, whose report, which was published today, said that the so-called squeezed middle was being forced to pay the bulk of taxes here. We heard from Professor John Fitzgerald, we heard from Antisha Gendakenny, and we can talk now to Breed O'Brien, who's Head of Policy and Media with the Irish National Organisation of the Unemployed. Breed, thanks very much indeed for staying on the line while we talked to Minister Fitzgerald. What is your response to this report from the ESRI? Do you agree that the middle classes are paying the bulk of the taxes and have suffered the most?
Well, that's not actually what the paper said. I think it's important just, you know, to reflect what's actually in it. What John highlights is
the fact that, say, governments, the recent government maintained social welfare rates for working age groups, the previous government cut them, but by maintaining the basic rate, at least it helped alleviate some of the poverty, you know, that was facing people, and that because of the drop in earnings, then the burden of tax fell on those who were left in employment, and. But I think what the paper also highlights is refers to another report done by the ESRI by Tim Callan and colleagues, which looked at a broader level of taxes, including indirect taxes. And what it highlights were the two groups that were biggest hit were the top decile, the top 10%, and the bottom decile. Mm-hmm. And certainly, we will be very conscious of this, as would other colleagues in the community and voluntary sector be very conscious of this. A hit, if you're, you know, for those on the lowest incomes of 12.5% is in many respects bigger than a 15% for the top, 10%. And that's also in the paper, you know, that was released today. So I think, you know, there are a lot of people are facing very difficult circumstances. A lot of people on welfare have seen in more recent years their basic payment maintained, but a lot of the other supports and services have been cut, and a lot of people are struggling. And I think people need to be conscious of that, you know, in the debate.
So coming up to the budget then in October, Enda Kenny saying, and other ministers, Michael Noonan, etc., any flexibility that was available would be aimed at this so-called squeezed middle through tax cuts, perhaps. Would you support that, or would you prefer to see the money spent on more social investment?
I feel it would be probably more productive for us collectively as a society if it went into social investment. The downside with tax cuts is that they tend to favour the better off. So people, and this is true for a lot of people, are working. They're working in relatively low paid jobs. So tax cuts probably aren't going to make a huge difference to them at all, if any at all. So I think, again, we need to bear that in mind, that we need to look at what type of changes, you know, do we need to bring in? What do we need to be addressing to continue to address inequality in Irish society and ensure that policies we're pursuing aren't exacerbating, you know, the situation for those who are the less well off in our society?
Is the government's action plan for jobs working from where you're sitting?
It depends on where people are living and on the sectors for which they have skills and for which they can apply. In terms of where jobs growth is happening, it's in very particular sectors, it's in very particular parts of the country. So we'd be very conscious that we get feedback from unemployed people from around the country, some very well-educated, well-skilled unemployed people who are finding it difficult to access work. And from that age group, one of the striking things are age. Older unemployed people are finding it very difficult to find work, and that includes older unemployed people who are very well-skilled and educated.